Jesus seems pretty concerned with being solid, or at least not being seen as a ghost in the post-resurrection appearances. Well, certainly the gospel writers, particularly Luke and to a lesser extent John, want us to see Jesus as being real and solid post-resurrection. Whether it's encouraging Thomas to touch his wounds, eating fish with his disciples, breaking bread with his companions on the road to Emmaus, there's an awful lot of solidity going on. The text reminds us again and again of the reality of resurrection, the importance of acknowledging that the Jesus they are encountering is not some kind of disembodied spirit, but is real, connected, present. Lots of ink has been spilled, these days electronic ink, or whatever that's called, over what the nature of Christ's resurrection body is, or the mechanics of resurrection. And I could definitely go off on some ramble about post-resurrection reality and bodily resurrection as part of Christian theological history, but I'm not going to. There are lots of musings about resurrection bodies, about transformations and new ways of being. And there are many musings that have taken place regarding implications for our own post-resurrection experience. Are we going to actually have bodies after this world or what? But honestly, I think that's drifting away from the very point that these writers, perhaps even Jesus himself, is trying to make in these stories. The resurrection, however it happened, whatever happened, isn't something that's meant to be a theory or a doctrine, a disembodied teaching, either stuck up here in our brains or out there somewhere in the ether. It's meant to have a very real affect and effect upon those who claim to be Christ's followers. If the resurrection of Jesus follows the pattern of the life of Jesus, it will be less concerned with abstractions and conceptions than with the very real way that we live today. It will be concerned with how people feel and act and how people are encountered and engaged with. Take, for instance, Jesus' opening words to the fearful gathering, chowing down on their fish and chatting away, who think they've seen a ghost. Peace be with you. It's a very deliberate and careful opening. Not about an abstract peace, but about engaging with their fear and anxiety in that moment. It moves quickly on to concrete action. Have you anything to eat? And then he moves on to explain the meaning behind this story of resurrection and to commission the disciples, instructing them to wait in the city until they receive the Holy Spirit, until they are equipped for the ministry and mission which they are going into, to proclaim in word and deed this new life of God. Jesus incarnate, through his whole life and ministry, didn't just meet people, he encountered them. Meeting them where they were, in their need and in their distress, in their lack of understanding, or even in their hypocrisy, he challenged, he cared, he healed, he blessed. The resurrected Jesus does the same, engaging with his disciples compassionately and clearly, speaking into their need, sharing time with them, blessing them, instructing them, making resurrection real with compassion and peace and love and grace. It is easy, indeed it is way too common in the church, to abstract all this stuff, to turn it into doctrine and devotion and liturgy, all of which I love in its place. I wouldn't be in the church if I didn't love and appreciate that kind of stuff. It's a part of, but only a part of the big story. But beyond all that, and within it, is the reality which we are called to live day by day. We are called to be people of resurrection, Christ-like in our encounters with all, and seeking Christ in our encounters with all. This is how we incarnate. This is how we make real the life which we claim and proclaim. It's this that inspires and inflames our passion for justice, for the whole person, not just for saving souls. It's this that informs our view of resurrection reality, our view of others, this resurrection reality, seeing the innate worth, worthiness, and godness in all, no matter how marred and scarred we may feel that image of God is. It is this resurrection reality that draws us to speak peace into places of fear and brokenness and violence, and to be people of peace in our own hearts, in our minds, and in our bodies. All of this is founded on and rooted in a deep commitment to the reality of God's engagement in and through Christ with the everyday, the earthy, the everyway world to which we are called and which God loves. May the realness of resurrection enlarge our hearts and our minds as we too encounter God's beloved world. May we encounter one another with peace, and may we incarnate the resurrected life. Amen.